We've been camping in Jesus' words in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 for the last weeks. And here it is. Jesus came and told his disciples, are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you a believer, a receiver, a follower of the teachings of Jesus? Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority. How much authority does Jesus have? That's a lot, right? Where is his authority? In heaven and on earth. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this morning. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that beautiful? The Apostle Paul says these words in 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 1 through 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received, and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you've believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance. Number one. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Father, we love you and praise you and we thank you for this morning. Lord, as we awaken here in Southern California, you created a really beautiful place that we get to live in today. Lord, the hills are gorgeous. They're green. The rain has made them beautiful. The ocean is vast and glorious. Lord, it's blue skies today. It's a beautiful day. Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for the life that you've given us to live. We thank you for the freedoms that we have in Christ, the freedoms that all of us enjoy in this country. Lord, as we gather here this morning, we come with purpose. We want to learn. We want to grow. We ask Jesus that you would send your spirit upon us. Lord, help us to see what you want us to see and hear what you want us to hear. We pray for our spiritual journey to meet Jesus and to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would just do this now. Just help us, God, where we're at. Push us in our journey as we grow as disciples of Messiah. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. And y'all maybe see it's good to be with you. So thank you for every. So today is kind of another Levi Sunday. So Levites, you know what I'm really grateful for? I'm grateful that we have this church facility. It's really cool that we can just come here and be here. Oh, right on, bro. It's my brother from another mother. I have some friends of mine that do church plants, and every morning they show up real early, and they sit up in a church, chairs and all that, sound systems, and then they're there all day long. You know how cool it is just to show up here and be here? So yesterday, on Saturday, a group of people hung out here, and we call it Levi Sunday. We just put on our Levi's and went to work kind of cleaning up this place. Isn't it really satisfying when you're vacuum? Would you ever do a carpet cleaner and the dark dirt, that wow factor of, oh, look how gross this is. We've been cleaning the power washing and cleaning the carpets, and we're going to do more of that today. So that's why I'm wearing my Levi's. It's Levi Sunday. You know, it's kind of cool. In the Old Testament, the house of the Lord was a tent and the Levites was a tribe and their job was to take care of the house of the Lord. So we're kind of doing that. And that's what we're dealing with afterwards. So everybody who's sore, Pastor Vince said, my back's kind of sore. I'm going to stand up down there. So I'm going to lean back. And I told him, you're getting old. He was here power washing yesterday. I did a little of it. Then I went with Shuva, by the way. So in our Messianic, there's a Messianic Jewish congregation. I was a part of Passover Seder they had at the Marriott last night. And we left. They were still dancing. I think they're still dancing this morning, too. We're going to do some more of that today. Okay, so here you go. So I'm praying that as you leave this morning, that you're going to be challenged and encouraged in your own spiritual journey, in truth, in Christ, because all of us are on that journey and we're still on that journey. A question for us this morning. If someone was to come up to you and in time prove to you that what you believed was wrong, would you change your belief system? If someone came up to you and over time proved to you that what you believed was wrong, would you change your belief system? Does anybody in here want to believe anything that's not true? Pastor Frank, what do you mean by a belief system? Well, okay, how about like Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species? Ever read this? Charles Darwin, interesting man, in the 1800s, came up with a theory that our origins evolve from simple systems to complex systems, right? That our origins of us as human beings exist because we've evolved over billions of years of time and chance from single cell organisms to multi-cell organisms, right? Evolution means change. And do we all change as humans? Absolutely. But do we change from humans from bacteria to blue whales? Bacteria to blue whales? Is that good science? This was his theory. Did you know that there's good science and bad science? Does anyone remember what we lived through 4 years ago? There was good science going on and there was bad science going on 4 years ago during COVID. Charles Darwin, his theories is the bedrock or the foundation of atheism. There's no theos, so there's no God. That we've just evolved from nothing. Nothing plus nobody equals everything. Okay? If that's true, where do you go when you die? You cease to exist. It's a theory. It's a belief system. Okay, how about Buddha? You guys read teachings of Buddha? Buddha, 5th and 6th century Eastern thinker, philosopher in many respects. Interesting book to read. If you read Buddha, he's the enlightened or the awakened one. There's four noble truths of how to live and to find enlightenment. And what happens to you, according to Buddha, when you die? You're reincarnated. And if you're a good person in this life, you'll come back as a better person in the next. Karma, right? It's a belief system. It's a belief system. How about the Quran? The Quran, Muhammad, Allah. Arabic word for God, Allah. God exists. The Creator. He's holy and you're not. And in order for you to get right with God, you need to practice the five pillars of Islam. The word Islam means submit, submit to Allah. How do you know when you die if you get to go to heaven or not? Well, there's the scales of did you do more good deeds than bad deeds? And if you're a good Muslim, Allah might let you in. Unless, of course, if you're a shaheed and a jihad, if you die for Allah, all sins forgiven and you're allowed into heaven. It's a belief system. Okay? Belief system. I like God. I have friends that are Buddhists. I have friends that are Muslims. I have friends that are atheists. I have friends that are Mormons. Belief system. Belief system. Joseph Smith, 1800s. That all the Christian religions are wrong, and you know God is Jesus is. Manifest himself in South America and so forth. And actually, God the Father is the God of this solar system. There's other solar systems. And there are many gods. As man is, God once was. And as God is, man may become. Does anyone want to be a god? If you're a really good Mormon, you can evolve into godhood. As man is. God once was. God was like you. But as God is, you can become if you're good enough. So everybody goes to heaven. But if you're really good, you can become a God yourself. It's a belief system, okay? So beliefs, just belief systems. We all have them. You have a belief system. Ha! Huh. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Belief systems. All of these systems could be wrong. One of these belief systems can be right, but not all of them can be right. Does that make sense? All of them can be wrong, or one of them can be right, and the rest of them wrong, but not all of them can be true. Is that reasonable? Is that logical? Does this make sense? Are you with me this morning? 2,000 years ago, Jesus came up out of the grave. Jesus tells his disciples in Galilee on a high mountain, he says, "All power and authority has been handed unto me. I'm the resurrected Christ. Go into all the worlds and make followers, disciples of me. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Teach these disciples." The followers of Jesus weren't really happy with his great commission. They wanted him to come back and set up a kingdom on earth right now. They go back to Jerusalem and they're still questioning him. And he says, "Wait till the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you go be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria." Okay. And everywhere else on planet earth. And by the way, I'm going to send you a helper. This is last Sunday if you were here. Jesus says, "I know that this message is too powerful for the messengers, so I'm going to send you help. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give you courage and power to be bold and be my witnesses. That the Spirit of the living God will come into your life and help you proclaim this. To be born again, born anew, born from above," right? "People, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The power of this message. The power of the message. What is the message? If last week we're talking about the power of the message of Jesus and the Great Commission, our question this morning, what is the message of the Great Commission? If someone was to ask you, okay, so what is the message? What are we supposed to proclaim? What is this message, Jesus, that you want us to give all over the world? Well, if you read the book of Acts, and that's what we're studying, right? When you read the book of Acts is a beautiful book. You've got the four Gospels of Jesus. And then you've got this book of Acts, and it's kind of this, it's how the disciples did it. And it's really a highway through the New Testament. And all the epistles is just off-ramps of churches that was planted as these followers of Jesus spread through Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to Turkey, into Europe and Greece and Rome. The epistles, Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Philippi, these are just cities. It'd be like today, Irvine. There's a New Testament called Irvinites, where we're from Irvine, you know, like, and so the book of Acts is just the story of how their accomplishments, how the Holy Spirit works through the apostles as they spread the gospel. What is the message of the Great Commission? We'll read what the sermons are in the book of Acts. What is the message of Christianity? Read the sermons. Read what Peter preached. So this morning, I just want to spend a moment and just look at the first sermon ever given in the book of Acts. We're just going to fly by it. they wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and it's actually a beautiful place. They believe that where the disciples were is called the house of the Lord. It's the temple, the tabernacle. Well, the temple, second temple in Jerusalem. The southern steps is the steps of the rabbis. It's a beautiful place. If we someday you get to go with me to Israel, we go there and we read this. So they're waiting, and it's at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's the hour of prayer. It's on it's at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, like 120 of them or so. They begin speaking a real amazing spiritual. They begin speaking different languages or tongues, proclaiming the wonders of God. All these thousands of people are watching this supernatural event take place. And Peter stands up and begins preaching the first sermon ever in the book of Acts. Do you want to know what Christians believe? Acts chapter 2. What is the message? We know the power for the message. What is the message of Christianity? Is it health and wealth? Is that why? Acts chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice, and he addressed the crowds, thousands. Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, later days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show you wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The first thing Peter does is he gives a reference to Joel, that this was written 800 years before Jesus was born, but it's being fulfilled. It's a partial fulfillment of what's happening now. The Spirit of God has come. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, you guys are witnesses of this. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and with help of wicked men, you put to death by nailing him to a cross. But that's not the end, is it? God raised him from the dead, freeing him from agony of death, because it was impossible for the death to keep hold of him. As David says, here's another prophecy. I saw the Lord, King David says, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, I saw the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Prophecy of Psalm 16, 11 through 18. Prophecy fulfilled. Fellow Israelites, can I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried? So who was this talking about? His tomb is here to this day. By the way, you can go to Jerusalem and see King David's tomb if you want to. It's still there. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah. The resurrection of the Messiah, the promised one. That he would not abandon him to the realm of the dead, nor his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life. We're all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see now here. For David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Prophecy of Psalm 110, verse 1, that God is speaking to the Son of God, right? Therefore, so isn't that beautiful? Therefore, because all this is true, Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. He's the Lord, God Almighty. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And he's the Messiah. People are listening to this. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers and sisters, what must we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, each one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all far off, all who call upon the name of the Lord. Take notes with me this morning, please. What is the message of the Great Commission? Jesus is the prophesied Messiah who died for the forgiveness of sins. That's the message. Jesus is the promised one from the scriptures who came to pay our debts before a holy God. This message is consistent, my brothers and my sisters, all through the book of Acts, all through all the epistles of the New Testament. This is the message. What is the message? This is the message. That's a pretty good first sermon, by the way. 3,000 people believed and were baptized that day. It's beautiful. And that's just in Acts 2. And then in Acts 3, Peter and John go up to the temple, and they see some guy that's been lame. He's been handicapped for 40 years. And through the power of Jesus, they heal this guy. Silver or gold I don't possess, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the dude just leaps to his feet. And as they walk into church, can you imagine there's some guy out there that's begging for 40 years in front of the church, asking for money, and he's just lame? And we come to church here for 40 years, and all of a sudden, this guy's leaping in church, dancing and jumping up and down. Everybody's freaking out. So, just another sermon. This is not bad. Acts chapter 3. 11 through 20. It reads quick. Just enter in with me, right? While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as by our own power, godliness, we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to kill him, and you disowned him before Pilate, Pilate had decided to let him go. And you disowned the Holy and Righteous One. That's a title, by the way. We'll talk about that. Who's the Holy and Righteous One? He's prophesied in the Old Testament. And you asked for a murderer to be released, and you gave the Holy and Righteous One. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know has been made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that he has been completely healed, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you were dumb. No, you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this was how God fulfilled what had been foretold through all the prophets, saying that Messiah would suffer. The Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. What's the message of the Great Commission? That your sins will be what? Wiped out. Isn't that beautiful? Don't you love that? Does anyone want their sins before a holy God wiped out? Well, how does that happen? Well, there's a message. Somebody came and took all your sins and wiped them out. I like it. Amen. That times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? So here's Peter, man. Man, Jesus, could you just bring your kingdom back now? No, dude, I want you to go tell the world what I did. I came up out of the grave, Peter. I'm not bringing my kingdom to earth now. I need you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, and tell everybody what I've done for them. This is your great commission. Ah, okay. I need help. I'm bringing it to you. Here's power for the message. What's the message? Well, it's pretty clear, people. This is the message. This is the belief system. of Christianity, right? Where does it say in the scriptures? So Peter is just so rolling. He says, man, you guys killed the righteous one. Where in the Bible is the Messiah called the righteous one? Here's the text. If I could ever get you ever to just really live in a text of scripture, it's Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, 750 years before Jesus was born, the prophecy is this. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him, who's him, and cause him to suffer, who's suffering, and through the Lord make his life an offering for sin. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. He has suffered, and he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, this is what Peter was referring to in Acts chapter 3. My righteous servant will justify the many and he will bear their iniquities. Jesus takes the iniquities on him, your sins on him, his iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great and he will divide the spoils with the strong because he poured out his life unto death, was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and he makes intercession for the transgressors. People, the promised one, the anointed one, the Messiah, the righteous man will come to wipe out the sins of God's people. This is the message of the Great Commission. All through the sermons in the book of Acts, Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 7, Acts 10, Acts 13. Read the book of Acts. It's all the same. What is the message? This is the message. Here's note number two. All through the book of Acts, prophecy was used to prove the message of Jesus. Prophecy is used as a proof that the message that they're giving is true. It's called the miracle of predictive prophecy. The Old Testament speaks of one coming, and I'm going to tell you where he's going to be born. Bethlehem. Where he's going to be raised. Nazareth. Where he will begin his ministry. Sea of Galilee. He will be of a virgin birth. Wow. He will, the righteous one, be rejected by his people. The Messiah will come as a sin offering to take away the sins of the world. But he will not, his body can't undergo decay. And he's a payment. This is the, and then Jesus comes and fulfills them all. This is the belief system of the Christians. What they believe, but why they believe what they believe. Why they believe what they believe. Prophecy. Is this true? What do you believe? How do you know what you believe is true? Jesus was giving a parable once, and he talked about this rich man and this poor man. This rich man and a poor man. And the rich man dies, and the poor man dies, and they both go into the afterlife. And the poor man, Lazarus, is in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man is not there. He's in a place of torment, and he can see. And he says, Father Abraham, can you please send Lazarus to go back to earth and tell my five brothers and sisters to not come to this place? They need to live their life differently so they don't do what I've done. This is a parable that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 31. He answered, listen, okay, here it is, right? He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so they will not come to this place of torment. This is a parable that Jesus has given. He says, Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone raises from the dead and goes to them, they'll repent. He said to them, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced if someone even raises from the dead. This is a really amazing teaching from Jesus. I don't know about you, but if a dead relative showed up at your home, at your bed tonight, would you listen to him? Anyone? If Uncle Bill showed up, it's 2:30 in the morning, and your Uncle Bill just shows up and says, I need to have a serious talk with you, would you listen? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone? Anyone? What Jesus is saying is that the prophecies of Messiah are more convincing than if someone comes back from the dead and starts talking into your life. That's incredible. Do I hear an amen? Take notes this morning. Prophecy's persuasive. That's true. Prophecy's persuasive. Prophecy is tangible. It's measurable. It's provable. It's one thing to say, what do you believe? And what's your belief system? And people, we all have a belief system. It's a whole other conversation to enter into. How do you know what your belief, that what you believe is true? And to just say because you feel it to be true is a terrible test of truth. Amen? I've had people come up to me and they tell me, oh, you guys know, I can't believe you believe this. You seem like such an intelligent person. My response is, I can't believe you don't. You seem like such an intelligent person. The enter of not just what does a person believe, but how do you know what you believe is true? If someone came up and told you that your belief system was false and they proved it to you, would you change how you live or how you, what you believe? Why do you want to believe a lie? Well, because of tradition, Pastor Frank, or my parents raised me in this. Yeah, but is it true? How do you test a belief system? For 2,000 years, my brothers and sisters, the Christian message has been that Jesus is the prophesied Messiah who died for our sins and restores us to God the Father, that we have peace with God through Messiah from the cross. Forgiveness of sins is found in Messiah. And this was the message. And they always proved that this message was true because of prophecy. The Saul, Rabbi Saul, or the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he says this in verse 15, 1 through 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this message of the Great Commission or the gospel, which I preached to you, which you received, on which you've taken your stand. Have you heard this? Have you heard Jesus and received Jesus? And do you take your stand on the message? Is that you? Are you a disciple? For what I received, so here is Saul's story. Read his story. He didn't believe in Jesus. What I receive, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Messiah died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. Say it with me. According to the scriptures. Prophecy is persuasive. What do you believe? Okay. How do you know you believe it's true? Do you see how powerful prophecy is? How many prophecies does Jesus need to fulfill in order for you to believe in him? How many? How many do you need? No other holy book has this. So, I brought my Ryrie study Bible. It's great. You guys should all get a study Bible. Do you know what I have in the back of my study Bible? There's a whole section called Messianic Prophecies Fulfilled in Jesus. Do you guys have a good study Bible? Do you know that this isn't in the Quran? The Quran has none of this. Buddha has none of this. God, I love Mormons. I don't love Mormonism. Has none of this. None. None. Prophecy. It's tangible. It's provable. It's powerful. Do you see how unique this is, Christian? Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. Go tell people about me. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to help you because I know you're going to be afraid to tell. Hey, man, go preach. Tell people what I've done for you on the cross. Okay, Jesus. And he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you in doing this. Power for the message. But you know what Jesus also says? I'm sending the Holy Spirit upon planet Earth in a very special way. And not only is the Holy Spirit going to help the messenger to convey the message, do you know that the Holy Spirit's going to come and convict those that hear the message? Jesus said this the night before he died. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. John 16:7-8. The Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Did y'all get that? Through the witness of these disciples, as they tell the world about Jesus, the Holy Spirit won't only be empowering them to be his witnesses, but he will move through their message to convict people in their hearts. So the word convict, it's a judicial term. It's like the Holy Spirit becomes the prosecuting attorney in a person's heart, creating an inescapable awareness of sin that can't be diminished. And all of these recognize it. We all fall short. And they all come up with a system on how to deal with it. Ah, except Charles. Let me take out him. Okay. Charles, try now. There is nothing. Okay. And there's many other belief systems. These are just three of the biggies. Buddha says, man, you reincarnated. You need to be better. Muhammad, God is holy and you're not. This conviction. And let me share you how this is how you need to figure it out. The Holy Spirit's here to convict us. He's here to just as the message of Jesus is given, there's a spiritual force that's just going, right? Sin, righteousness, God is holy, righteous, you're not. You fall short. Judgment. You know, when you look at your life and decisions that you've made and the things you've done, and you see that you're flawed, have you come face to face with your own flaws and faults and sins before a holy God? When you realize that, and you realize that you're here and he's there, there's a sense of judgment that takes place. You need a mediator. Ah, the prophecies is God sending a mediator, for God so loves you, he sent his one and only son, that Messiah would come and die on the cross for your sins, so you won't, because he loves you. This is the message. This is the Christian message. It's the Christian belief system. Righteous God, sinful man, there's a gap between holiness, Messiah. You share this message. Jesus says, you know what, man? The Spirit of God can even, because it's true and it's reasonable, logical, it works on people. Here's a note, right? Take down this note. The Holy Spirit is sent to give power to the message and power to the messengers. Holy Spirit gives power to the messenger to proclaim and power to the message. Because it's true. When you read Peter's sermon in Acts 2, as he preached Jesus and the prophecies, Jesus fulfilling scripture, I love it. It says, when the people heard this in verse 32 of Acts 2, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter, what must we do? The conviction came. They heard in Jesus and the proof, not just about the message. Peter was always preaching the 1-2. This is the message, and this is how we know it's true. Message, how we know it's true. This is the message, and here's the prophecies fulfilled, right? All the way through. And then through it all, the Holy Spirit's at work. God works in the messenger, and God works in the message, messing with people. Does anyone like Lord of the Rings? Remember Tolkien? Guys, remember Tolkien? Love Lord of the Rings, right? Tolkien is a professor at Oxford University, and he believes in Messiah. C.S. Lewis is his buddy who does not. Tolkien shares Messiah. The Great Commission is happening at Oxford University. It's pretty cool. And they're sitting there and they're talking. And can you imagine intellectuals trying to, that's highly significant, right? intellectuals with collared sweaters, you know, pipes, the whole thing, right? Intellectuals. Over time, Tolkien, C.S. Lewis is reading this. And he's seeing the prophecies. He's understanding what his buddy Tolkien believes, and he's looking at why he believes what he believes. And C.S. Lewis is getting messed in the head. And this is what he said. You must picture me alone in that room at Magdalene, night after night, feeling, whenever my mind lifted, even for a second, from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I greatly feared had at last come upon me in the Trinity terms of 1929. I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England. Do you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit convicting him. It's true. You give the truth. Let it fly. You give the truth, the message of the gospel. People, it's the Great Commission. You need to tell the world about Jesus. What if they don't listen? Oh, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid, because it's true. You give them truth and let the Spirit of God do. Do you know what? I can relate to that, because that was me. My belief system has changed. I bought this. I was an atheist. Charles Darwin gave me reason to believe it, and I embraced it. But it has no meaning or purpose. There's no intrinsic value in life if I'm an accident. If you come from nothing, then what's the meaning of your life? I struggled. And when I die, I just cease to exist? Really? And Christians started telling me about Jesus. And boy, was I reluctant. Isaiah 53 got me. Peter used it in his sermon in Acts 3. The righteous one takes away the sins of the world. The prophecies is what got me, convicting me. This is true. Wow, look at this belief system. It's actually provable. It's provable. It's provable. The Christian message is this is what it is, and this is why we believe what we believe. What do you believe, and how do you know what you believe is true? Take notes of me this morning. Here's note number five. As a disciple of Jesus, we're called to share what we believe and why. You're supposed to know what the message of Jesus is and how you know it's true. Go be my witnesses. Man, the book of Acts is so beautiful because it doesn't just teach what Christians believe. It's just another belief system. It actually teaches this is how we know it's true. This is why the message of Jesus has spanned the globe. This is what makes it so powerful, because it's provable. It's the most intelligent faith on the planet. It's historically accurate, archaeologically accurate, geographically accurate, prophetically unbelievable, and it changes billions of people's lives like mine, who used to ride in the back of a cop car in handcuffs and who now rides in the front as a chaplain. Do you know who did that? Jesus. It's provable. You enter into this. You teach this. People, know what you believe and why. Here's a picture of an eye. Does anybody see design? Anyone? Do you see the machine that an eyeball is? The lenses? Do you know to say that this evolved from nothing is an amazing leap of faith? Do you know that if one of those things don't work, there is no eye? It takes all of this to make an eye work. To believe. C.S. Lewis said this once, an atheist about an atheist. An atheist can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. An atheist says this about an atheist, an ex-atheist. Do you understand? They don't want to find one. That's okay. So great. I was talking to my son, Jonathan, recently. I have a neighbor, I have a relative in my family who's trying to explain to Jonathan that what we believe is bad. And he's trying to convince my son that, this is stupid to believe in Jesus. The reason why you believe in Jesus is because your parents raised you to believe. And Jonathan says, Dad, he goes, I'm listening to my nephew. And he starts, and he goes, his arguments are so bad, I'm trying to help him. He doesn't want to believe. My nephew is making fun of my son because he believes in Jesus. And my son's pretty sharp. He's pretty smart. And he says, Dad, I'm listening to his arguments, and they're so bad, I'm trying to help him come up with a better argument to come against my position. The reason why he doesn't want to believe, it's the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. He doesn't want to. What do you believe? The world's really messed up. Have you noticed? Hatred and lies, evil, violence. The world's a mess. Do you know what Jesus' answer is to that? You. There is no plan B. Go make disciples. Go make followers of Jesus. Teach them everything I told you. Go into the world and all the different belief systems and tell them this belief system and let them, this is true. Witness. Don't argue people into the kingdom. People, this is what I believe and why. And why don't you tell me what you believe? Well, that's interesting. Okay. And how do you know it's true? And they look at you. That's cool. This is why I believe and why. And it's radically changed my life. You guys, the Messianic Jews in Israel right now are sharing Isaiah 53 right and left. I've given you some videos to watch. It's so beautiful to watch these Jewish believers in Jesus back in Jerusalem 2,000 years later, speaking to their own Jewish people, saying, God exists and he's real, and look, it's Jesus, and look, here's the prophecies. And the Jewish people are reading it going, I've never read this before. And it's so encouraging. The world needs you. The world needs you. Would you please go love people in the name of Jesus? Would you please go speak truth to people in the name of Jesus? Would you forgive people in the name of Jesus? Don't be afraid of different belief systems. Actually, enter in. It's actually fun. Once you figure it out, well, what do you believe? Well, how do you know that's true? I had a kid. Close with this. Kid grew up in the youth group. Came to church scamming on girls when I was a youth pastor here many years ago. Okay? So one day I'm over at Pete's Coffee. You guys know where Pete's Coffee is over there by Stonefire? There he is. Hey, man, haven't seen you in a while. How are you? I just graduated cum summa laude. Wow, that's amazing. From Fullerton. Yeah, I'm doing great. And wow, I haven't seen you in a while. How's it going? Hey, did you go to church lately? Oh, I don't believe in this anymore. I don't go to church. I don't believe in what you believe. Really? What do you believe? Well, I think God is, and he looks up toward the ceiling, and I watched him in the next 5 minutes create God in his own image of this is what I think and what I believe, and I'm listening to this guy. So does this creator you believe in, is it a personal being? Does he know you or it or whatever, and I'm watching this guy, he's faking it the whole way. And when he's all done, it was so interesting. I meet this kid. He tells me that I'm stupid for believing in Jesus. And then he goes on to proceed and create his own belief system. And when I asked him, how do you know what you believe is true? He kind of looked at me. And I said, what's the authority of your belief system? Do you know what the authority was? Him. Isn't that convenient? And he's the smart one. And I wasn't nice. I told the truth, but it wasn't very loving. And I repent. I told him, I got mad. I said, so you've told me that I'm stupid for believing in Jesus. And then you've went around and created your own belief system. And it has no facts in it whatsoever. And you're the authority of what you now believe. And I looked at him. I said, you just told me you're smart. I said, you're a fool. And what you believe is unintelligent and foolish. And mine is based in Isaiah 53. I read it to him. I go, Brian, can you explain this to me? How did Jesus fulfill this? Well, he was a thief not wanting a cop. But you know what? I'm not afraid of that. Are you? Everybody's a theologian. Everybody believes something. How do you know he believes it's true? Christian, do you know what the message of the Great Commission is? Because you're supposed to be a witness to it. You're supposed to know what it is and how you know it's true. The early Christians they wielded prophecy as powerful. It's the one thing you have. No one else has. Nobody. It's true. Would you please go proclaim truth and be... I pray that today, if you're here and you're not a believer in Jesus, welcome to the journey. I need you to understand what Christianity is, what it believes. And you should understand this. And you should understand why we believe it's true. I was out with a bunch of buddies of mine four or five weeks ago we were down. We've been followers of Jesus a long time. We've lived life. We went through the good times, the bad times, divorces and their kid, and all the hard stuff. And I still look and they go, Pastor Frank, do you still believe? I said, absolutely. I can't get away from it. Life is still difficult. Life is still hard and there's still suffering. But Jesus said there would be. But I can't get past Isaiah 53. Can you guys explain that to me? The prophecies? How many of them do you have to believe in? How many prophecies does Jesus need to fulfill before you'll believe? 1? 100? It's the most intelligent faith on the planet. Know it. On your journey, if you're not a believer in Jesus, just enter into it. In time, you'll be like C.S. Lewis and you're going to come to faith. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. Ask, it'll be given unto you. And for Christian, everybody else that's here, are you a disciple? If you're a disciple of Jesus, raise your hand. Are you a believer, a receiver, a follower of the teachings of Jesus? Is that you? Are you on the journey?
Yes.
Know it. Proclaim it. Live it. This is God's calling for you. Follow his son and tell everybody else about his son. This is your commission. Go into all the world. Follow Messiah as you go. Not go, as you go. As you live your life, follow Messiah today. And when you get a chance, tell people about Messiah today. This is your commission. And for 2,000 years, that's what the Christians have done. And that's why when you go to Jerusalem over Passover, and they're from all over the world, because the gospel has spread the globe, because it's true. If it wasn't, I wouldn't believe it. Prove me wrong and I'll disown my faith. I dare you to. Prove it to me. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. Okay, Lord, I know that one's heavy. I'm sorry, Jesus. God, I pray that my brothers and sisters here are not believers out of convenience, but out of conviction. Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth. Convict us on what is true. May we walk in truth. May we live in truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. No one comes unto the Father but through you. And if people want to just blow you off, then God, you will grant them their wish. People get to believe or not believe. And they get to go wherever they're going to go in the afterlife based on what they believe. You're a respecter of people's decisions, Jesus. May all of us make good decisions in this earth. We either accept Jesus or we reject him. There is no Switzerland. We're not neutral. You either accept him or you reject him. He's either Messiah or he's not. You can't be in the middle. Jesus, would you please make this clear to us all? May we either believe it or may we not. But may we at least be intelligent in our decisions. Holy Spirit, help us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love the Lord Jesus would say what? Amen. Amen.